why you do it. Later on, switch on the TV. They give me the news, they give all truths to me. They give us wives, they feed us lies. Now I want to do it. With your cave, it's complicated. I'm easy back to this.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
Yes, he is. Wow, it's been a long time since we chatted, huh? 2 hours. Yep. All right, we're back tonight after filling in on John Statmiller's program. Tomorrow we'll be back there in the afternoon as well. And we are here tonight for the next 2 hours. And, of course, my guest tonight is going to be someone that I met in Washington during the conference of the American Free Press a few years ago. And I knew that she was really true blue. I just, you know, have a way with people. And she was just absolutely amazing when she spoke, the evidence she presented to back up her case. And she gave a wonderful presentation on Saddam Hussein and Iraq. And in the 80s, and she is Nita Renfrew. Nita, welcome to my program.
Hi, Rick. Nice to be back.
Well, it's good to be back and hear you on the radio. You've been so busy, and I know you've been doing other things and personal things, and, you know, it's not like it was a few years ago. Time has gone by. Things have changed. Before we do the program tonight, I just want to mention, of course, when we met, the war had not started, the new Gulf War. And George Bush was already, with Tony Blair and others, making plans for that war. So, you have a lot to tell us tonight about what you saw when you went to Iraq and wrote the book, Saddam Hussein. You went there in the 80s, didn't you?
That's right. I went there in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. And why did you go? What made you go, and how did you go?
Well, in 1984, we reestablished relations with the government of Iraq. Our relations had been broken after the, I guess it was after the 68 war, mm-hmm. and with Israel,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, when all of the Arab countries had the Arab-Israeli war in 67, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. And so they had broken relations with the United States because of our support for Israel. And in 1984, these relations were restored in November. And I went there, and a few months later, as a journalist,
mm-hmm.
and I remember going there and expecting, because I'd read all the propaganda, and I went there expecting to find this really terrible police state, and Iraqis sort of cowering behind their doors, you know, afraid of the police coming to take them away, and I expected to find a backward country.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there, and it was what I found was totally different.
Mm.
There was a vitality in the air that was just, I've never felt that in any other country. Iraqis were proud that they were building up their country. And, you know, we talk about Saddam as if he were the country, and he was basically, you know, the representative of the Ba'ath Party. There was a whole party that was in power in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Ba'athis who were building up Iraq.
Yes.
And
yes.
I found that yes, there were people who didn't like him. There were groups of people that were trying to overthrow his government for different
mm-hmm.
reasons.
Mm-hmm.
There were the Kurds, and there were the yep. Shiites in the south, and there were.
Nita,
the
can you hold
communists.
That thought, because we got our break coming
sure.
up. And first break. When we come back, I want you to continue to describe what you saw and what was going on in Iraq then. Nita Renfrew, our guest. We'll take your calls tonight, too. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger. We'll be back.
What continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorant, or antibacterials? Probably never, right? For the past 50 years, the Calbend Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbend Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. It's great news because Calbend Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call Calbend at 1-800-340-7091.
Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbend pure soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or on the web at calbendpuresoap.com.
Try pure soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams, on. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on. Ouch.
That's me, little old Rick Adams, and our guest, Nita Renfrew. And Nita wrote the book, Saddam Hussein, in 1985. And Nita, continue. What you saw was this country that was not like anything you had been told when you got there, right?
The book was written in 92, but I basically used a lot of the information that I got in the 80s when I went.
Right, right.
So anyway, I went there, and, you know, the first I got to the hotel there, and it was full of journalists from other places because, of course, everybody wanted to go right after we had reestablished relations. And there were a bunch of American journalists. There was one journalist from the New York Times there. And I don't want to get into names, but this particular journalist was later responsible for a lot of the false information on weapons of mass destruction.
Well, why not? You can mention his name.
I don't want to get into that.
Well, that's your choice.
But,
right. We don't
anyway,
hide anything.
You know, I was told by these journalists, they sort of, you know, I got there and they said to me, You know, just as a piece of advice, don't call any of your friends in Iraq, and don't call anybody because you'll get them into trouble. And mm-hmm. because if anybody is seen talking to a foreigner here, they get taken away by the Iraqi police afterwards, mm-hmm. and they're tortured, and their families and so on. So I had a whole bunch of numbers of people to call, and I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't call these people because I don't want that to happen to them. But, you know, people I knew in the States had given me numbers of their family members and so on, and I thought, well, they must, why would they have given me these numbers? They must know if this is true, if this happens. Mm-hmm. So after a few days, I thought, well, you know, I hung around the hotel and I hung around the journalists, and they were just basically, you know, getting each other's information and sending it back to their papers, but none of them were doing any first-hand reporting.
You didn't expect them to, did you?
Well, they were all saying, you know, that they weren't allowed out of the hotel and the information ministry and this and that and the other. And I thought, well, I'm just going to walk out and see what happens. So, you know, I walked out and nobody said anything to me. And I walked around the city. And, of course, then it was during the Iraq-Iran war. So at a certain point, there was a rocket lobbed into the middle of the city, and there was a tremendous explosion. It was a bomb. And I made my way back to the hotel. But, you know, nobody bothered me. And the government, actually, they gave me a driver to drive me around and took me wherever I wanted to go. And you know, and I thought, well, everybody said, well, he's your minder and he's going to, you know, they're not going to leave you alone. And I found that the guy, he just wanted to take off for lunch and long lunches and so on. And he couldn't have been happier than, you know, when I, you know, just sort of said, well, I'm going to stay on my own. And he'd say, okay, goodbye. And he'd just leave me wherever I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I kept thinking, this doesn't feel to me like, you know, what they've been telling me. Mm-hmm. And I started calling the people that I had the names and addresses of, and they started coming to pick me up, and they would take me out, and they would take me to restaurants and to mm-hmm. their homes and so on. And I had also been told Iraqis are very unfriendly and to foreigners, and they won't ever invite you to their homes and so on. And I found these people couldn't have been more hospitable.
Mm.
And I asked a couple of them. I said, you know, I don't want to get you into trouble. And they would just burst out laughing. I said, what do you mean get us into trouble? You know, what do you think, we can't uh-huh. invite you to our homes if we want? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I began to realize that all of this stuff was just a bunch of bunk.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what was appearing in the papers here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was what was appearing in other books and so on.
Why do you suppose that it was in the papers that these reporters were not telling you the truth?
Well, I think that the whole thing goes back to Israel. You know, everybody keeps saying that we're over there because of the oil. But, you know, I don't buy that, because we control the oil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we already controlled it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not, of course, the real thing is that Israel wanted us to destroy Iraq. They've always wanted us to destroy Iraq.
Well, they wanted us to destroy not only Iraq, but any government that is in their way, essentially.
But particularly Iraq, because you see, Iraq is the only Arab mm-hmm. country that
uh-huh.
has both a large population, which means a potential
right.
military, and oil.
And oil, yeah, exactly.
See,
the largest deposits of oil.
The other oil countries have small populations, like Saudi Arabia and the Gulf countries, so they could never put together a big army.
You're absolutely right.
And the
military potential is great.
The countries
great.
That have large militaries, mm-hmm. potential, like Syria and Egypt and so on, don't have oil, so they can't get sophisticated weapons and so on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I found was that, you know, the Iraqis are really much smarter than the other Arabs in general. They're much more highly educated,
uh-huh.
very organized. I found, for instance, it wasn't at all like a third world country.
Tell us about that myth about it being a third world country.
Well, you know, everybody was always on time for everything, which you don't expect in a third world country.
Yeah.
People were very straightforward. They were very sort of very intelligent, very, you know, willing to discuss any kind of anything I asked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask about the repression. They would discuss it with me. There was no hostility about it or anything. And, you know, of course, they always said, look, you know, we're a country at war. They were being attacked by Iran at the time, which was three times larger than Iraq, both mm-hmm. population-wise and geographically.
And it's interesting to note that at that time, the United States was a very key player in making sure that both sides were armed,
exactly,
along with other countries in Europe as well. And Israel wanted that, too. They wanted to have both camps armed, fighting each other, diverting attention away from Israel, at the same time killing off massive amounts of the population of each country.
Exactly. That's exactly what was going on. Israel was getting us to give both information, intelligence to both sides, and weapons when they needed the weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we hear all about all the weapons we gave to Saddam Hussein. Well, in fact, the military, the Iraqi military, was basically French and Soviet, because we had had an embargo on them since 67, mm-hmm, because we had no relations with them. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't have used our weapons or our spare parts. The spare parts that we were sending to Iran because the Shah had built up an American infrastructure, an American military infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So the military stuff that we giving Iraq was just minimal. I mean, it was nothing to speak of, because they really needed French and Soviet supplies.
Mm-hmm. And
people forget this.
Yeah, they forget that. And along the lines of such duplicity also was what was going on in the 70s in Iran itself. You see the hand of the CIA, you see the Mossad, they're training the Shah's men, you know, the Savak, the secret police, to torture.
Yeah.
And that was breeding up a tremendous amount of anti-Americanism,
I think. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
And so it was ripe for the taking. Iran was going to fall. The Israelis wanted it to fall, and the Khomeini government to come in, and the United States, of course, was caught right there with its pants down, supposedly.
And you know, we're seeing a replay of putting in these religious extremist governments, because we keep talking about how we're trying to keep them out of Iraq, but in fact, we have put the extremist Shiites in power. The people who believe that women should not have equal rights and that they should wear headscarves.
Mm-hmm.
And all that sort of thing. Those are the people we're putting in power. People who believe that religion should be part of the state.
Mm-hmm.
The Ba'ath Party believed that there should be a separation of government and religion.
That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
And Saddam was a key promoter of women's rights. he had been, when he was in the underground back in the 60s,
mm-hmm,
before the Ba'ath Party came to power,
right,
when they were fighting against the military dictatorship.
Right, right. It was a communist government, by the way, wasn't it?
Not at that time. This was the government that came after the communist
government. In the 50s, it was a communist government.
In the 50s, it was a communist government under Qasim. It was communist-supported government.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 60s, it was the Arif, General Arif, and then his brother. And at that time, Saddam was in the underground with the Ba'ath Party, and he was in charge of coordinating women's support in the underground. And it was at that point that he gained a great respect for women. And all the time that he was in the government in Iraq, women adored him because he promoted their rights. He would go into, for instance, once he became president, he would go into the villages where the traditional religious families didn't allow their little girls to go to school and that sort of thing.
Hmm.
And they forced these people to allow the girls to go to school and to learn to drive and so on. And what he would do is he would cut off the water and electricity in these homes when they wouldn't allow them to go to school. So women mm-hmm. adored him. And as a matter of fact, during the first attack on Iraq, in Saudi Arabia, apparently mm-hmm. a lot of the women, including a lot of the royal princesses, named their sons that were being born Saddam, after Saddam Hussein, because
mm-hmm.
the women in places like Kuwait and Saudi Arabia looked with great regard on what Saddam was doing for women. When I was there, the other thing I found was that at least half of the government positions up to mid-level were occupied by women, which was far more than in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And the universities were half and half, half men, half women. Mm-hmm. Women had great education mm-hmm. at that time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
we're going to get into
opportunities.
That. We're going to get into that more after the break coming up. And ladies and gentlemen, now's the time. If you want to jump aboard, get on the horn. You got a question for our guest, Anita. She'd be happy to talk to you about Iraq. 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Rick Adams here reminding you, you can live pain-free now and without inflammation thanks to Dr. Cass Ingram's incredible new discovery, InflaEase. It actually eliminates the inflammation that causes arthritis, agonizing pain, and more. To order this amazing new product, call 800-243-5242. That's 800-243-5242. Order InflaEase today. And be sure to mention Rick Adams.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
By some awful quirk of fate, the Morlocks have become the masters and the Eloi their servants. The Morlocks maintained them and bred them like cattle.
Yeah, we're back. All right, fellow Eloi. It's Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio, Rick Adams, and our guest, Nita Renfrew, talking about her trip, her expedition, if you will, to Iraq in the 1980s, and then wrote about it in 92. Getting back to that, Nita, this is fascinating because you said you went there as a reporter. Who did you represent, or what media outlet did you represent, if any, particularly?
I was working for Le Monde Diplomatique at the time, the Spanish edition. Le Monde Diplomatique is it's a well-respected European monthly paper. It's an opinion sort of type paper. It's not a daily. And it's the most highly regarded monthly political paper in Europe. And I want to get back to, you know, talking about reporting. It's like I keep, you know, we've had a lot on the news in the past few days because Bush is addressed tonight. And
oh, my goodness. I didn't even see it.
I keep hearing about how, you know, you have these people come on and they say, well, you know, there are a lot more cars in the street now than there were before the war on, you know, the war 3 years ago, and there's more goods in the store, and there's more this, and people have more. And I think to myself, you know, they keep making these allusions to Saddam Hussein doing this to his country. And I think to myself, you know, before 91, when we first attacked the country, it was such a thriving place. Mm-hmm. And it was because of the sanctions that we placed on Iraq and the destruction that we waged in that war, mm-hmm. and that we continued to do for, 11, 12 years,
mm-hmm.
that Iraq was in the shape that it was in. But talks anymore about the dynamic country that existed before we began to destroy it systematically.
And that's what you saw personally.
It was
you
just
went
amazing.
There.
I mean, I just couldn't. You know, I've traveled a bit, and then when I came back, of course, I learned from the UN that they had been about to put it on, to put it on the list of first world countries and remove it from third world countries.
That is amazing in itself.
At the time that the war broke out, because the standard of living had risen to the level of a first world country.
Wow.
And even after that war with Iran, which was so devastating to Iraq in many ways and depleted their resources, even in 1989, after that war, after an eight-year war, the UN still put Iraq on the list of nations on a par with Portugal.
That is incredible. As you point out, in the Arab world, it was the most advanced, the strongest in terms of being able to amass military power, surpass Egypt in the 60s, and just, all-out campaign, really, to discredit Iraq and the press in this country especially. And you know what's interesting about it is that Saddam Hussein himself, his background, where he came from, and whether he was, listed as a CIA asset or not, all of this speculation doesn't mean anything to me, because what I'm looking at is the way the United States government, under the hand of the Zionists, has always had its foot, along with Britain, in the affairs of the Middle East, and particularly, you know, courting the Saudi royal family. That relationship went back to the 40s, I believe, with Roosevelt and so forth. And, you know, you could see that the master plan, even then, was for the oil. Get in there and, exploit the situation.
But I don't think
problems.
It was for the oil. Meaning, the oil we control.
This is back in the 40s before Israel. Before Israel, And then, of course, they knew they were making dual promises. They were, the British were trying to appease the Arabs with Israel and vice versa. And you can't have two masters.
But I'd
Jesus
like to say
himself.
One thing. If Saddam Hussein was a CIA asset, then Benjamin Franklin was an asset of French foreign intelligence back in the 18th century.
Explain that.
What was Benjamin Franklin doing talking to the French? He was trying to get their support for Americans to get rid of the British in this country, okay?
Yeah.
And what was the Ba'ath Party doing in the late 50s? They were trying to get the support of any country they could to get rid of the communists in their country.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, the fact that he was talking to CIA people doesn't really mean anything. I mean, just think of the people that Benjamin Franklin must have talked to try to get weapons for the Americans.
I've been, here and there I read a little bit of American history in the Middle East, and the CIA under Eisenhower was heavily involved in affairs in the Middle East, even in Iraq. With that coup d'etat that was taking place, I believe, the United States, the CIA was meddling. So it was like, in other words, it was setting the seeds.
The CIA was helping both sides.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they wanted to have a finger in the pie no matter who won.
That's right.
So they supported the Ba'athis and they supported the communists. And, of course, the British were supporting the communists.
Yeah. And may the best men win.
And we were trying to supplant the British there because for trade reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
And, so it was everybody. It was a free-for-all. And the Iraqis were, as all groups do in every country, they were trying to get support from whoever they could get support from. So, obviously they turned to people who have the capability to support them.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no doubt that Saddam Hussein met with CIA field. And, if you want to talk to the American government, if you go to the American embassy and you're a foreigner,
mm-hmm.
You know, trying to get rid of your government, who do they sit you down with? They sit you down with the local field officer from
exactly.
the CIA. That's who you talk to.
Yes. Stay where you are, Nita. We'll be back with more.
To talk to Bush.
That's for sure. You don't want to do that. All right, Rick Adams, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth. With all the junk food, fast food, and pre-cooked meals out there, do people actually consume the nutrients that will improve their health? Everyone starts with good intentions. A few pills here, a glass of juice there, but what about an entirely new approach to wellness? What about a brand new market of nutrient delivery? Triathletes and marathon runners often down small packets of gel, providing a timely blast of energy. And why couldn't this exact system work for daily consumption of vitamins and minerals? It can. Through suspension gel technology, our daily nutrients can be taken anywhere, quickly and easily. Think about it. No glasses, no supersized pills, no waterlogged juices, no ineffective sprays and creams, just pure, concentrated nutrients in an easy-to-take, rapidly absorbed, taste-bud-busting gel. You squeeze in your mouth. A great way to get your daily nutrients. For more information to improve your health, call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055. Or go on the web at together.ws.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Fight Father Time with Cocoon GH. This advanced growth hormone spray delivers impressive results. Listen to what 51-year-old Gail Contax experienced while on Cocoon GH.
My eyesight was failing. My skin was sagging. I was losing muscle tone and my bones and joints were aching. I initially got started on a product called Ultimate HGH. I felt a little more energy for the first few weeks, but then I began to feel tired again. Then I heard an ad on Cocoon GH and gave a call. I learned that Ultimate HGH isn't even growth hormone. I started using Cocoon GH and the first thing I noticed was my aches and pains went away. After another few weeks, my energy came up, as did my strength and endurance. I'm getting a better night's sleep and waking up feeling rested. My muscle tone and my eyesight both improved after 1 month. My sex drive got stronger, and much to my surprise, my menopausal symptoms went away and my period came back. I'm impressed beyond belief. Thanks, Cocoon Nutrition.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Nighttime Ride of the Paul Revere of Talk Radio. Uncensored. Radio Free America. Rick Adams is back.
Yes, and we are chitty-chattying, as they say, with Nita Renfrew, who went to Iraq as a journalist in the 1980s, and she saw some things that just simply defy everything that you've been told about Iraq then and now. So obviously there's a disconnect here. We have never been told the accurate truth about what Iraq was like in the 80s. And of course the media in this country, heavily controlled, certainly made a very frantic effort, if you will, to condition the American public to hate Iraq, to hate Arabs, and of course to hate Saddam Hussein. All the while, Papa Bush and, of course, Ronald Reagan and his administration were courting Saddam's government and supplying them with arms and, of course, these deadly viruses and so forth that now we decry Saddam's use of. What hypocrisy. So if you want to get on the line, you can do so, 800-313-9443. I've got a lot more questions, I know, but, you know, Nita, you tell the remarkable story of how you saw health care, for instance, things like schools going up in Iraq, and this is why the United Nations report would have shown Iraq heading toward becoming a first-rate nation.
First world nation,
yeah. I mean, you know, you think of Iraq, you think of them as a backward, third world type of nation. That was the impression we were
made to believe. Well, that's the way it was when the Baathists came into the government.
Right. Well, it wasn't that way when you went there.
No,
that's
but that's
the whole
they built
point.
It up. That's the whole point is that they're the ones who built it up.
Right, exactly. Within
none of the governments before the Baathists built it up.
Was it a decade or so, you say?
About, well, they came in 69, so 79.
About a decade and a couple of years, yeah. And that's a tremendous amount of stride. Now, why do you suppose Saddam was doing all of this? Why? What was his, if you will, his motive?
Well, Saddam was a true believer in the Ba'ath Party. And the Ba'ath Party was all about restoring the glory to the Arab world that it had back in the, you know, in the early days of when it became an empire. And it was the seat of learning and so on. And Baghdad was a great seat of learning at one time. So he believed that, and there was also no corruption in Iraq. I mean, because Saddam believed that corruption was what had undermined the ability of the Arab countries to use their oil wealth to become a first world nation again. And he also believed in unity between the Arab nations.
But what about all this? Come on now. I mean, what about all this corruption? You know, the scandals about his 4,500 mansions and
all
of these.
They haven't found, you know, if they had found any money in European banks or something, we would have heard about it, wouldn't we?
Well, I don't know. There was a lot of money missing and gold missing also, as well as artifacts when they raided the National Museum.
You know, what happened during the sanctions is they were, meaning what would you do if somebody were taking the money away from your country that you believed rightfully belonged to your country? You would try to get it back any way you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there were no bank deposits. No, there were no Swiss bank accounts or anything like that. There were accounts that were for the government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were obviously preparing, you know, to be able to finance a resistance because it was obvious that the United States was going to attack them. But there was no personal corruption involved. And, you know, we hear about the palaces and so on. And as one Arab friend of mine pointed out, the word for palace and building is the same in Iraq in Arabic as it is in Italian. The word palazzo means building.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all of those buildings that were going up were government buildings. I mean, you know, it's like the White House. The White House doesn't belong personally to President Bush or any other president. Mm-hmm. It's a government building.
Very interesting, yeah.
And in the same way, all of these, you know, palaces, and they were palaces, and their palaces were government buildings. None of them belonged personally to him. His sons were involved in a bit of corruption and so on.
Yeah.
And they were, that was,
I was
going to
bring them up. Yeah.
His sons were a bit of his, were contributed a great deal to his downfall.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point when one of his sons killed one of his bodyguards, he tried to put him on trial, and the mother intervened.
Mm-hmm.
And convinced him that this shouldn't be done. But Saddam was ready. He said, put him on trial the way everybody else goes on trial for murder.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only when the wife, you know, went through her, you know, the whole thing about,
exactly,
you know, you can't do that and so on, that, you know, she prevailed.
Uh-huh.
And the sons did terrible things. But Saddam personally was never involved in any corruption. Meaning we haven't seen any evidence of it. And the Arabs that I know who I consider to be good sources, and by the way, they're not Baathis, also don't believe that there was any corruption.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. Very interesting. All right, let's take some calls. 800-313-9443 is our number. Nita Renfrew is our guest. We're talking about Iraq and Saddam Hussein, and she was there. She saw what she saw. You can ask her any question you'd like. Doug in Texas. Hello, you're on the program.
Rick, hi, Nita.
Hi.
Right before we went into Iraq, we went into Afghanistan, and they had their little excuse that they were going to get the guy that was directing the hijackers with the box cutters that brought down the World Trade Center, demolished them.
Mm-hmm.
They had trials in football fields, and they made their women cover their face up. They stoned them to death. They were barbaric. They were evil Muslims and this, that, and the other. And now all of a sudden, when we go into Iraq, that was the most secular of all the nations over in the Middle East. They had like 50% of the college students were women. And the story that we heard about evil Afghanistan was just reversed.
You know, well, that's the irony of the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah, you have to, I guess, fit the propaganda to the methodology, huh?
Yeah, even though it's exactly the opposite from one week to the next, you have to make it fit.
Yeah, I know. In Iraq now, women have fewer rights. Many of them have to wear the veil now and so on because they're afraid of the Shiites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women who were totally modern before and had jobs and so
not
on
only that,
could no
Nita,
longer
but,
do this.
But, you know, there were a good sizable number of Christians living in Iraq.
That's correct.
What happened to them now? What do you think's happened to them?
Well, a lot of them. You know, Tariq Aziz was one of them. The prime minister
That's
of the
right.
country was
That's
a,
right.
was a Christian.
Right.
Yes, Tariq Aziz. Yes.
We've been hearing
things about Christians being killed, Christian churches being raided, bombed, Christians fleeing the country because they no longer have the safety they did under Saddam Hussein. Is that true?
The Christians liked Saddam, and so did the Jews there. I met some of the Jews from the Jewish community, and they liked him too.
They
said they had, absolutely no problems, and that he was that they felt very safe under the Ba'ath government.
We didn't hear much about that. All we heard about was persecution and terrorism and dictatorship and how he was terribly anti-Israel. And, you know, being anti-Israel is now elevated to almost a hate crime in terms of our law books.
But he wasn't anti-Jewish. And as a matter of fact, in the 80s, during the war with Iran, Saddam actually sent he made overtures to the government of Israel. And he offered to, because of course they figured out that the reason that the Iranians had spare parts for their army and so on was because of the Israelis getting the Americans to send them.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually tried to negotiate with the Israeli government, and they offered to recognize Israel. If they would, stop, pushing the U.S. to have this war.
It didn't work, did it? Israel wasn't interested in peace.
The Israelis turned them down, and they didn't want it to become publicly known because they wanted to be able to say that these people were totally intransigent.
Yeah.
But they had, in fact, changed their policy toward Israel.
That's interesting. You know, another thing, too, while I get Doug on the line, you might want to remember is that I have read reports where during the 1973 Arab oil embargo, guess which country was willing to sell the United States oil and break the embargo?
Oh, when was that?
That was after the 73 war. It was Iraq, and they were willing to hold the price down to as low as they could.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the way we reward them.
Relations with the U.S.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, yeah, when you think about it, here's a country that's trying to do something for us. We ignore them, we turn them down, we slap them down, we put sanctions on them, we kill their people.
Yeah.
And Israel bombs our ship, the Liberty, takes the lives of American soldiers, does all of this harm and evil, and we give them $10 billion a year plus military aid. It's crazy. It's
insane. There's nothing wrong with what we're doing. I remember when I was in Iraq, and I was interviewing some of the Ba'ath Party, the senior Ba'ath Party members, and I said to them, why do you want to have relations with the U.S., you know, since you have such good relations with the Soviet Union and European countries? And they would say to me, well, because we want to have the best in this country, too, and we admire your country.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you that Iraq is the only country I've ever been in in the Third World, where everybody liked Americans.
That's unbelievable.
This is no longer the case. And as a matter of fact, there were no American tourists because there was no tourism in Iraq. And then when we reestablished relations, there still wasn't any tourism because there was the war going on with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And but still, all Iraqis spoke some English because English was their second language in school, and they spoke mm-hmm. American English, not British English, even though they had never had mm-hmm. relations with this country to speak of.
It's interesting.
So I've talked to some of the soldiers who've gone in, and they've gone into some of the villages, and they say that the people speak English. They're amazed.
Yeah. Doug, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay,
right?
Go ahead. Did you have another point?
I just wanted to make a comment about our commander-in-chief that gave a pep speech about how we can justify our war crimes in Iraq and everything.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say, Rick, that the guy is not a commander-in-chief. If you go by the U.S. Constitution, it says the president shall act as commander-in-chief in time of war.
In time of war. Mm-hmm.
And in time of war is defined by Congress votes to declare war, which they haven't.
Article 1, Section 8.
So as much as our little baby Bush or boy George or whatever you prefer to, refer to him as, the little creep, sociopath that occupies that office, we'll just have to grudgingly call him president, but by no means is he a commander-in-chief.
Wow.
As much as he likes that.
I watched him give him his speech tonight, and I thought to myself, he's looking more and more like Johnny Carson. And
that's an insult to Johnny Carson, the late Johnny Carson.
No, but I mean, it's looking like, one would have, if I had seen this, if somebody had shown this to me back in the 70s and said, this is something out of the future, do you believe that this is the President of the United States, or is this a comedy show that's doing a takeoff? I would have said, this is some kind of a parody on the President.
Well, I missed the whole thing. Thankfully, I didn't watch it.
He looks like a comedian.
Yeah, he is.
Pretending to be the President.
We call him the sad comedian, the sad clowns, Anyway, thank you, Doug, for your call, brother.
All right.
Good to hear from you. Harold in Tennessee, you're next on the program with Nita. Hi.
Hi, Rick. Mephram Fro, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Oh, just fine. I was wanting to ask you, what kind of money standard did Iraq have?
Well, they had the dinar.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It was, I don't know, but it was worth a lot of money when I was there. There were $3 to a dinar, and everything was more expensive than it was in this country. But it wasn't for Iraqis.
And
they made a lot of money.
I've heard that was one reason that Bush and them wanted to go in there, because they would not come this funny money like we got. They was keeping their dinar.
Well, one of the things they were saying that they were going to switch the oil switch over to the European to the euro dollar, and instead of the dollar, and tie it to the euro dollar, and that's apparently one of the reasons we went in.
Yeah. And
plus the fact that none of these countries in the Arab world that I know of, the Mohammedan world, wanted a central bank which is controlled by those powerful forces of Zionism. And, now that we've invaded the country, guess what? They're going to have
They've got that central bank.
Yeah, I mean, they did not believe in usury, did not believe in interest-bearing money created out of nothing. And, of course, they had oil. They had a substance, most of these guys, not all of them, but many of them had oil. And, of course, the Bushies and the CIA and the Rothschilds don't like that sort of thing. They don't like that independence from them.
No, that's one reason they went to war with them.
Mm-hmm. It is, absolutely.
And make them... And if there's any of these foreign countries that are left and that are friendly to Bush, they'd better get unfriendly real quick because he'll be on them like he was Manuel Noriega.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be a good friend of theirs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the problem is the only thing I have against Saddam Hussein, to be honest with you, I tell people all the time, is his business associates. And one of them was Papa Bush.
Uh-huh.
I said, the only thing I have against him is that he was a friend of Bush, serves him right. You know, at one point, we'd say a business partner. So we can talk about BCCI, and we can talk about all these gangsters internationally and the money they were making off of drugs, including Poppy Bush, as they called him.
Right.
But Saddam Hussein had nothing on them. Nothing.
Talking about business, I'd like to tell you a story. I have a friend who was an official of Continental Oil back in the 70s and 80s, and he would go over there to negotiate these contracts because he speaks Arabic and so on. And he was telling me that that Iraq was the only country where they never signed contracts because he said when he first went over there, he said the oil minister said to him, look, he said, a contract is only as good as what you want it to be. He said, if we sign a contract and you decide to break it, you're going to break it. And if we decide to break it, we're going to break it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said everything was done on a handshake. And there were no kickbacks, no corruption. And he said the only country of all of those countries that was the way it was.
Now, as much as he lied about Hussein in that country, I wonder how much they're lying about Iran and Saudi Arabia and North Korea.
Good questions. We'll be back. Thank you. Stay on the line, everyone. Nita Renfrew, our guest. We'll be right back. I'm Rick Adam.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of Choice Garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sanjin 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the ANT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also, a one-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
We're back with our guest, Nita Renfrew, Uncensored Radio Free America on RBNLive.com. And I forget, is Harold still with us? Harold, are you there or did he go? You're there.
I want to thank Miss Renfrew for putting out the truth. and
thank
I want,
you.
Sir?
Yep. She said thank you.
And I won't insult the word president by referring to Bush as one. And one of these days he'll get his comeuppance.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. You know, unfortunately, the American people, are paying for his warlike policies and his real war policies. And, you know, I don't know if this is true or not, quite frankly, Nita and Harold as well. But, you know, I have here on my screen sitting before me an interesting report. I don't know for sure if it's true, but I don't believe anything Bush says, that's for sure.
I don't either.
It says the real U.S. death toll in Iraq war is 9,023. And this is a report from the front. OP, Iraqi Freedom Deaths, U.S., 22 June 2005, first edition.
Well, it would be very surprising if we had the real count from them.
Oh,
well,
you
know, they said they don't do counts, though. You remember when Rumsfeld said we don't do that sort of thing, body count?
Old Numsfield?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they never will give the truth of how much our future inheritance.
It's a pretty sad day, you must admit, when I think you can take a paper like the Philadelphia Inquirer, even not so much the Philadelphia, but the National Inquirer, and put more confidence, more faith in one of their front page stories than you can in this administration. In this
That's
government.
True. Yeah.
That's a scary
I've gotten
point.
To the point where I figure that anything I can imagine will be more accurate than anything I read in the mainstream media.
That's
well, the
true.
Comic paper.
So I use my imagination, though,
yeah.
for the news.
Yeah, the comic strips in the newspaper make yeah. more sense than foreign policy does.
Absolutely. No question about it, Harold. Thank you for your compliments and your comments, Harold from Tennessee.
And we'll catch y'all later, Rick.
Thank you, brother. Take care now. All right, 800-313-9443. The story goes on, Nita, to say that the new casualty stats compiled at the DOD, the Defense Department, this weekend were put on this desk, Abizad's desk. Do not expect them to be released by Rumsfeld anytime soon. They are as follows. In-country deaths, 1,731. That's the official count.
Mm-hmm.
Deaths occurring after med evac from Iraq, 7,292. Total deaths, 9,023. Wounded, 26,419.
And think about all the people who are maimed. Permanently
That's
maimed.
It. That's it. The wounded, of course, now we know about the depleted uranium and all of the other, you know, poisons, the fact that they are becoming back ill. Their children now will become ill. We're passing it on, you know, to the generation to come.
There was a little special a while ago on CNN, I believe, after Bush's talk or right before it, where they were saying that in this war, one of the new things that's coming up is brain injuries. From the concussion, the shock concussion of the RPGs and so on, and they said they've never seen so many brain injuries.
Yeah, and I mean it's scary. It really is.
So makes you know, sick. So you're not. That's something you don't see immediately.
Mm-hmm. Nita, can you stay with us into the next hour? Do you have to leave?
Yeah, I can stay.
All right, because there's more, and of course, time is just running by so quickly. I haven't asked you some of the even more important questions that we have not raised yet. Our listeners, join us. Stay with us. Nita Renfrew, who wrote the book Saddam Hussein, which I want to talk about what happened to the book as well. Stay where you are. Rick Adams, we'll be back.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.